down the gray waves, empty. Vetch could see nothing else on the water. The battering wavetops filled his eyes and blinded him. No strong swimmer, he struggled as best he could to the boat and pulled himself up into her, coughing and trying to wipe away the water that streamed from his hair. He looked about desperately, not knowing now which way to look. And at last he made out something dark among the waves, a long way off across what had been sand and now was wild water. Then he leaped to the oars and rowed mightily to his friend, and catching Ged's arms helped and hauled him up over the side. Ged was dazed, and his eyes stared as if they saw nothing. But there was no hurt to be seen on him. His staff, black yew-wood, all radiance quenched, was grasped in his right hand, and he would not let go of it. He said no word. Spent and soaked and shaking, he lay huddled up against the mast, never looking at Vetch, who raised the sail and turned the boat to catch the northeast wind. He saw nothing of the world, until, straight ahead of their course, in the sky that darkened where the sun had set, between long clouds in a bay of clear blue light, the new moon shone, a ring of ivory, a rim of horn, reflected sunlight shining across the ocean of the dark. Ged lifted his face and gazed at that remote, bright crescent in the west. He gazed for a long time, and then he stood up, erect, holding his staff in his two hands as a warrior holds his long sword. He looked about at the sky, the sea, the brown swelling sail above him, his friend's face. "Astario, look, it is done. It is over. The wound is healed. I am whole. I am free." Then he bent and hid his face in his arms, weeping like a boy. Until that moment, Vetch had watched him with an anxious dread, for he was not sure what had happened there in the dark land. He did not know if this was Ged in the boat with him, and his hand had been for hours ready to the anchor to stave in the boat's planking and sink her there in mid-sea, rather than carry back to the harbors of Earthsea the evil thing that he feared might have taken Ged's look and form. Now, when he saw his friend and heard him speak, his doubt vanished, and he began to see the truth, that Ged had neither lost nor won, but, naming the shadow of his death with his own name, had made himself whole. A man who, knowing his whole true self, cannot be used or possessed by any power other than himself, and whose life, therefore, is lived for life's sake, and never in the service of ruin, or pain, or hatred, or the dark. In the creation of Ea, which is the oldest song, it is said, "Only in silence the word, only in dark the light, only in dying life, bright the hawk's flight on the empty sky." That song Vetch sang aloud now as he held the boat westward, going before the cold wind of the winter night that blew at their backs from the vastness of the open sea. 8 days they sailed, and ate again, before they came in sight of land. Many times they had to refill their water-skin with spell-sweetened water of the sea, and they fished. But even when they called out fishermen's charms, they caught very little, for the fish of the open sea do not know their own names, and pay no heed to magic. And when they had nothing left to eat but a few scraps of smoked meat, Ged remembered what Yarrow had said when he stole the cake from the hearth, that he would regret his theft when he came to hunger on the sea. But hungry as he was, the remembrance pleased him, for she had also said that he, with her brother, would come home again. The mage wind had borne them for only 3 days eastward, Yet 16 days they sailed westward to return. No men have ever returned from so far out on the open sea, as did the young wizards, Astariol and Ged, in the fallows of winter, in their open fishing boat. They met no great storms, and steered steadily enough by the compass and by the star Tolvagren, taking a course somewhat northward of their outbound way. Thus they did not come back to Astowel, but passing by Fartolli and Sneg without sighting them, first raised land off the southernmost cape of Kopish. Over the waves they saw cliffs of stone rise like a great fortress. Seabirds cried, wheeling over the breakers, and smoke of the hearth fires of small villages drifted blue on the wind. From there the voyage to Ifish was not long, and they came into Ismay Harbor on a still, dark evening before snow. They tied up the boat, Lookfar, that had borne them to the coasts of Death's Kingdom and back, and went up through the narrow streets to the wizard's house. Their hearts were very light as they entered into the firelight and warmth under that roof, and Yarrow ran to meet them, crying with joy. Listen.
If Astariol of Ifish kept his promise and made a song of that first great deed of Ged's, it has been lost. There is a tale told in the East Reach of a boat that ran aground days out from any shore over the abyss of ocean. In Ifish, they say it was Astariol who sailed that boat. But in Tuk, they say it was two fishermen blown by a storm far out on the open sea. And in Hulp, the tale is of a Hulpish fisherman and tells that he couldn't move his boat from the unseen sands it grounded on, and so wanders there yet. So, of the Song of the Shadow, there remain only a few scraps of legend, carried like driftwood from isle to isle over the long years. But in the deed of Ged, nothing is told of that voyage, nor of Ged's meeting with the Shadow, before ever he sailed the Dragon's Run unscathed, or brought back the ring of Erith Akbe from the tombs of Atuan to Havnor, or came at last to Roke once more as Archmage of all the islands of the world.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.